Chapter 25, Leverage. The forest was dark by the time the messenger reached the path that led to the Floyd's cave, but he preferred the night. There always seemed to be less interference at night. What deviants must these be to live inside of a cave, he thought. So afraid the world might see the evil inside of them. He shook his head. Disappointment didn't begin to describe his feelings. It had been disappointment in the beginning, when he had felt a yearning to help or change people, but that had been very naive of him, very naive indeed. There was no changing people who allowed evil to soil and corrupt their hearts. The only help he could provide them was to end them, to destroy them. In that way, disappointment turned to pity, which turned to monotony, which turned to frustration, which turned to disgust. As he walked along the forest path toward inevitability, that was his predominant feeling. Total revulsion. Nicholas Floyd hovered over the bubbling cauldron of stew and let the steam hit him full in the face. He inhaled the wonderful smell of boiling meat and vegetables, and he savored it like a precious thing.
"It's the simple things," he said. "The older I get, the better they are. Simple things."
His mouth watered, and he dipped the ladle to draw a scoop of boar and carrot. He blew to cool it, and then opened wide.
"Delicious," he mumbled as he chewed.
He swallowed and then arched an eyebrow.
"Are you sure this is boar?"
he asked Yolana, who sat sewing a ripped shirt.
"Yes," she replied.
"Almost tastes like chicken," Nicholas said.
"That's nice," Yolana said.
Nicholas looked at her oddly, and then realized Yolana was not paying attention to anything he said.
"You're thinking about them again, aren't you?" Nicholas asked.
"Sorry," Yolana said and put down the needle. "I'm worried."
"Don't be," Nicholas said and set the ladle on the table. "They're the ones."
He sat next to Yolana and placed a fatherly arm around her shoulders.
"Do you have doubts?"
"No," Yolana said. "I know they are the ones. I could see it when I looked into Evercloud's eyes."
"Then what's the worry?" Nicholas asked.
"What if they find out, Father? What if they figure out the footprint was a lie and the feather is a fake? They will leave, won't they? Their faith will be broken."
"Yolana," Nicholas said in a calming voice, "the only way they will ever figure that out is if they really do find Tintoro. And then what will it matter? The lies will have been a means to an end, and the end will be good. It's like tricking a child into taking its medicine. Ben and Thomas won't reveal the truth unless they find the ancient."
"I know," Yolana said. "I shouldn't worry."
"You should worry," a man said who had suddenly appeared at the entrance to the Floyd's cave. "You should worry your little heart out." Nicholas and Yolana jumped up, and the old man put his frail body between Yolana and the intruder.
"What do you want?" he yelled. "Who are you?"
"I'm looking for Ben and Thomas Floyd," the messenger said. "Where are they?"
"I don't know what you're talking about," Nicholas shot back. "I've never heard those names."
The messenger took a menacing step forward.
"Don't lie to me, old man. I do not appreciate it. Lie to me again, and I will kill you in the most inefficient way I can. And I hate inefficiency."
"Leave us alone, you evil man," Yolana yelled.
"How dare you call me evil?" the messenger said, and clenched his teeth. "Tell me where Ben and Thomas are."
"Never,"
Yolana cried. The messenger grabbed Nicholas and ripped him away from Yolana.
"Tell me, or he dies," he said.
"Run, Yolana,"
Nicholas choked out.
"Run!"
Yolana fled from the cave as fast as she could.
"Kill the old man," a voice said in the messenger's mind. "Retrieve the girl."
The messenger lifted Nicholas off his feet and threw him against a wall.
The old man's head thudded loudly as it hit the rock, and he fell dead to the floor. Without a moment of hesitation, the messenger ran after Yolana.
"Take the girl," the voice said. "We'll use her as leverage."
Yolana ran through the forest as thorns and brush tore at her legs. Tears streamed down her face and blurred her vision.
"Father," she thought.
Her heart ached as she pictured the intruder grab her father, and she hated herself for running. She hated every step she took away from him, but she also knew she couldn't stop. They had been over this time after time. Ben, Thomas, and her father had warned her something like this might happen. They had warned her if the wrong people found out about their mission, they would try to stop them. Every time, they told her the same thing. Run. No matter what, run. So she did what they had asked, even though it killed her inside. The messenger watched her as she ran through the forest, and he shook his head. This was no challenge.
"Stop wasting time," the voice said impatiently.
Within seconds, the messenger had cut off Yolana's path. "You can't escape," he said simply. She flew into him, kicking and punching with every bit of energy and anger she had. It did nothing. He didn't even bother to shield himself from her attack. Yolana backed away, her spirit bruised and broken, tears rolling down her porcelain face.
"What kind of monster are you?" she cried. "What do you want?"
"I only wish to make the world a better place," the messenger said. "And to do that, I need to find your brothers."
Yolana wiped the tears from her eyes and looked at the man. His hood had been pushed back when she punched him.
"What happened to your eyes?" she asked.
"Childhood tragedy," the man replied. "The doctor said I'd never see again."
"You're blind?"
Yolana asked, unbelieving.
"I can't see the way most people can," the messenger said. "But I'd like to think I see more clearly than most."
"How can you do this if you cannot see?" Yolana asked.
"Let's just say things have a way of speaking to me," the messenger said.
Yolana stared harshly at the man and noticed he carried no weapon.
"You have no weapon," she said.
"That is correct," he replied.
"Then I will take you to my brothers,"
Yolana said with venom, and turned to walk toward the glass desert.
"And I will watch them kill you."
"That is very unlikely," the man said.
The messenger followed Yolana, fully understanding why she led him to her brothers. She deemed him incapable of harming them.
"That's fine," he thought. "You will see your error in the end."
The sun blazed above the glass desert, but the wind helped cool the air. Yolana had never wished ill on another creature in her life, but she relished the possible ways this man beside her might die. She wanted it so much she didn't care if she died in the process.
"How can you live with yourself?" Yolana asked him. "You murder innocent men."
"I have never harmed anyone who is innocent," the messenger replied.
"My father was innocent,"
Yolana said through clenched teeth.
"Your father was guilty of heresy against the holy," the messenger said.
"You are mad," she said, hoping to anger the man. "You're a fool, and the holy is a tyrant."
"The holy is the only good thing this miserable world has ever known," the messenger said. "You should repent to him and throw yourself upon his mercy now, before you end up like your pathetic father."
Yolana spun around and spit in the man's face.
"I will never bow to a tyrant. Never!"
The messenger wiped the spit from his face and grabbed Yolana harshly. Then he threw her to the ground, just as a gigantic claw came groping over a dune. The man leaped onto the claw, and it carried him through the air. As the crab raised the messenger over its body, he let go and fell onto the giant creature's shell. Yolana rolled on the desert floor and saw the man pounding at the crab. It spun wildly and tried to shake the messenger loose, but he would not release his grip. Finally, the shell gave way, and the crab fell dead to the ground. The man stood from the carcass, and Yolanda looked at him in horror.
"How did you do that?"
she asked.
"Keep walking," the messenger said.
Yolanda looked around, still bewildered by what she had just seen.
"You don't know where you are," the messenger realized.
"I don't know where my brothers are," Yolanda admitted. "I just know they were coming this way."
"Then it is no longer necessary for you to lead," the man said. "Follow me."
Watching him kill the crab had renewed Yolanda's fear, and she was no longer sure she wanted this man to find her brothers.
"Who are you?"
she asked.
"I'm a messenger," he said.
"And who do you carry a message from?"
"Tell her nothing," the voice said. "Keep walking," the man said.
"No," Yolanda said. "I won't follow you. Kill me if you will, but I won't follow you."
"Have it your way."
The messenger raised his hand, and a cool blue light came from his palm. Yolanda tried to avert her eyes, but was too late and found herself unable to move. Then the man threw her over his shoulder as if she was a child and walked on as images flew through his mind. He saw another giant crab, a hole, a small man, and a dark passageway.
"You must hurry," the voice said in his head.
An hour passed and the messenger came upon the carcass of another giant crab. Large birds sat upon its carapace and picked strips of flesh from the cracks in its shell. The man shooed the birds away and walked to where the shell met the dune. Yolanda was still paralyzed, and he set her on the sand so he could dig at the side of the dune.
"He's going to bury me alive," Yolanda thought.
She struggled to free herself from her invisible prison, but she couldn't move a muscle. Yolanda watched the messenger dig and dig until there was a dark hole in the sand. It was as if the dune was hollow.
"What are you doing?" a voice asked from deep inside the darkness. "Did you forget about the passageway? Did you find Tanturo?"
"Yes, Padre," the messenger said, smiling.
"Why don't you come out and say hello?"